Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin Radlin here from Lighthouse Church, and I've got my special guest, Caitlin McQuinn. She's back with us again, our women's leader, ministry team leader here at Lighthouse Church, and also a huge part of the worship team here. Caitlin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we love to have everybody tuning in, and I've been really excited to have some new voices on the program, and I just love the wisdom that you bring to the table. I love your heart for God. I love all that you are, and I think you're very powerful and valuable to those who are listening today as words of wisdom will come from both of our hearts, you know, because it's really God speaking through us.
Absolutely.
But I get so excited about that, you know, because he never ceases to amaze me in what he brings forth in the middle of these things. And we just bring these random topics, but then the Holy Spirit just starts whispering stuff and talking to us. So once again, welcome to the program. I brought the topic today.
Yeah.
Okay. So we usually have the co-host bring a topic, but I'm throwing her under the bus today, and I brought this topic. And I want to talk today a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to read it first. It's actually out of chapter 5 in Matthew, so it's called the Beatitudes many times as well. But I'm going to read, and we're going to read through, what are we going to read through? Let's read through verse 16. How's that? So I'll do the first 8, and then I'll have you pick up at verse 9. Or actually, you do the first 8. And
okay.
Then I'll pick it up at verse 9, okay?
Sounds good.
So I say to you, Caitlin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. All right, let's just dive right in. So starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God."
And then it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is amazing. Like, and then, you know, verse 13, now it's shifting gears. It's talking about, you know, salt and life. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
Amen.
What a powerful piece of scripture. I mean, I think we could talk about this for hours.
Yes, absolutely.
Hours upon hours. But you know, let's just jump right in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Beatitudes for a minute. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, the poor are those who have encountered unfortunate circumstances, you know, in their life. Maybe economically, right now, they're not hard to find, right?
Yeah.
People that are struggling, that are dealing with situations, but, you know, it also applies to people who are maybe spiritually or emotionally oppressed or dealing with depression, disillusioned, but mainly this. There are people out there, and some of you who are listening today fall into this category. You need God's help. Mm. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God is looking for those who are in need of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you taught a sermon, I think it was a couple months ago, about the three parts of us, where we have our soul, our flesh, and our spirit. And I feel like the real point of that is, where is your soul going to feed into? Is it going to feed into your flesh, or is it going to feed into your spirit? And your spirit is so connected with the Father. As Christians, you know, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's in Christ, but we feed directly from him, because sure, without him, we're nothing. And so I think that what he's saying here is that you don't have to do it all. You're blessed
Thank
to be
goodness.
Poor. You're blessed that you're poor in spirit, because you will have the kingdom of heaven through me.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we're in persecution in our life, when things aren't going our way, we tend to lean more towards God.
Yes.
And it's sad that it's that way, because I think really as believers, we should be just as close to God in the good times as the bad times. But a lot of people will cry out to God in their despair, in their turmoil, when life is really kind of kicking them around.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Jesus is coming at this scripture. And you know, he was giving this sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. It's really one of his first major sermons to people, and he said a lot of shocking things. So let's look at the next line, because you know, theirs is the kingdom of God. If you're needing something from God, seek him and you'll find him. Ask and it'll be given. Knock and the door will be open. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm. It's right there. It's ready and waiting to be grabbed by you. But the next one says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Have you ever needed God's comfort?
Absolutely. You know, the last time I was here with you, I mentioned that my mom passed earlier this year, and I think that's one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life. And I feel like that is when I experienced the love of Christ more deeply than I ever have in my entire life, because the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. That's one of his names.
It's his title.
Yeah. And so the more we press in, the more we lean into him, he seeks to comfort us. He wants to be that weighted blanket laying on top of us, you know, to help us feel safe and protected. And so I believe that here he's saying, those who are mourning, I see you. You're not alone. I see you. You will be comforted. It's not a maybe, it's a will. That means this is going to happen. And when Jesus says something, it's not an accident. This will happen. So blessed are those who mourn.
I think that there are people out there that God has comforted and they didn't even know it was God.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because God was reaching out to me in my life long before I ever even knew who he was.
Yes.
There were so many things when I look back now, I can say God was with me in that moment. God was there. His love was there. His compassion was there. Or people rallied around me I didn't even know that came around and helped me and became something for me. So I think maybe sometimes we could be mourning a loss of anything in life, and we're just trying to medicate the pain. You know, I think I was mourning being adopted, and I have developed a spirit of rejection and wondered, why didn't my parents want me? Why didn't things work out the way that I thought they should for my life? And it drove me into a pattern of alcoholism and drug addiction and, you know, just being crazy. I would run around crazy, but in all honesty, I was mourning.
Yeah.
I was mourning in my life, and that drove me into this spot of going and doing crazy things to get attention and to try to, you know, I don't know, counterbalance this emptiness with all this stuff that didn't really mount to anything. You know, until I met Jesus, that hole was never filled. I kept trying to fill it, trying to do more, trying to find my way as I was mourning, and it was actually driving me into a deeper level of addiction in my life. So I had to come to this place where I had to humble myself and accept the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, which brings us to the next line.
So, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You know, what immediately stood out to me with this one is I feel like the Lord looks for meekness in order to present himself in a situation, because when we're meek, when we're not, you know, proud and sticking our peacock chest out, you know, and we're just being humble,
right,
then the Lord can really show off in that situation. So I think of Moses, who, when he was approached by God, he was like, what do you mean you want me to do this? I can't, I don't even talk well.
I'm a stutterer.
Yeah.
You want me to speak?
And he's one of the most prominent figures of the Bible.
Sure.
Like, even people who don't know the Lord and aren't Christians have heard of Moses. So talk about inheriting the earth. Like, generation after generation knows this man's name and what he did in Egypt.
Sure.
So I believe that meekness is not something that's to be looked down on. Meekness is, he does bless those who are meek, because he can work in that atmosphere so much more beautifully than if we were proud.
So what if we flip the script on it and say, unblessed are the proud, for they will not inherit the earth. You know, and you look at people sometimes and they're so dominating.
Yeah.
There are so many people out there, those type A's that are just running people over, and they're aggressive and they're harsh.
Yeah.
And they're almost tyrannical in their way they're doing life.
Yeah.
And they just want to dominate everything, and that I feel like I battle that sometimes, if we're going to be transparent. You know, I take care of elderly parents, you know, but they're kind of hard-headed. They don't want to listen to me. They want to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And I find myself trying to dominate or get power trippy on them in some ways, when I really need that meekness.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's an area I'm working on in my life. And I know there are probably some people out there that, when you don't get your way, do you throw a tantrum?
Why are you looking at me like that?
No, they can't see me looking at you. So you uncovered yourself out. But no, but think about it. What?
Yeah.
I need to grow up. So I know some of you out there need to grow up too.
Yeah.
And we need to look at this scripture and say, I want to be blessed because I'm meek.
Yeah.
And I want to inherit the earth. I want to inherit. That means I want to fulfill God's role for my life. So,
yeah,
that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Meekness.
It really is. You know,
we all need to work on that one a little.
I was thinking earlier today, actually, that I am an imperfect human who serves a perfect God. That's
so good.
That's who I am. And when I start to truly lean into that, it gives him room to operate in my life. And I love that you brought up the Beatitudes today, because it's truly about who we are in him and how that works through our lives.
Yeah, look at Numbers, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Think about that. For they will be filled.
Yes.
You know, filled with what? I believe it's filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the righteousness of God is what actually makes us a container that the Holy Spirit can actually fill.
Yes.
In our lives. And you know, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the meek, to the humble.
Yes.
So Jesus is making some key points here as to, I think he's really trying to expose self-centeredness.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I, you know, if you're seeking after something, that means that you're also admitting that I don't have that thing.
Right.
So if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you're like, all right, look, I'm not it.
Right.
I can't do this on my own. So I need him to fill me. I'm hungry and thirsty and I can't meet these needs. I need him.
Yeah.
And then that's when he has that opportunity to come in and fill us up.
See, I don't know that as an American, we can even get our our minds around hunger and thirst.
Yeah, truly. I don't think so either.
I've been to Africa. I've been to other countries, India, different places where people were hungry. People were thirsty. They didn't have water.
Right.
They couldn't turn the tap on in their house and, you know, just drink some water. They had to walk miles to go get dirty water sometimes, that was maybe going to make them sick.
Yeah.
And so I would venture to say we need a better revelation from God on hunger and thirst. Now, hunger and thirsting for righteousness means that you know and learn to recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's how you're going to be filled with the love of God, the peace of God. It's all going to come through you having a personal relationship with Jesus through the cross, through the blood that was shed for you. And then that blood washes you clean. It makes you holy, even though you're not.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about this in communion a lot at church, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I like this particular line, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, are you hungry for Jesus? Because he is the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
So if you're hungry for him, your life's gonna be filled with the power of God and with the peace of God. So what's verse 7?
Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Ooh, unforgiveness.
Yeah. Now this
Let's talk about this one for a minute.
This one's a hard one. I mean, as imperfect humans, this one's a hard one to really wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Not only is it hard, I almost feel like it's almost easier to show mercy than to receive it.
Yes.
And in order for us to truly show the mercy of God, we have to first receive his mercy.
Right.
We have to recognize that he gives it freely and that it's not something we have to pay for. Yes, to the meek.
See the tie-in, right?
Exactly. And so it's not something where you're, you know, you have to be a certain way or act a certain way. It's a free gift. And that's how we are called to show others mercy as well. It's not because they earned it. It's because it's a free gift.
Yeah.
That we're giving to them, and we're called to be that way. The same way that God provides mercy to us, we're called to provide mercy to others.
Yeah, and really, what is mercy? It's forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's letting people off the hook for their, you know, shortcomings, their anger, their frustration, their inconsiderations, their inability to drive like a normal person. You know, we could go on and on and on, but I talk about unforgiveness a lot because it's really not possible for you to forgive somebody else in your own strength.
Absolutely.
Because God is love. And if you're going to truly love somebody that's done something towards you and you need to show mercy to them, the only way you're going to show mercy to someone is through taking it to God first and then having God give you his love and his forgiveness and his grace for that person.
Yeah.
And then extending that grace to them through prayer, really. I mean, you got to pray. You got to ask God to help you. You got to be mindful of who you are in Christ, that you are merciful.
Yeah.
And I'm not always merciful because I'm not always mindful that I'm supposed to be. And I have to get better at that in my own life.
Yeah. And I sometimes feel like there are times when it comes to forgiveness and mercy, I have to seek God about it multiple times a day, sometimes multiple times an hour. Just because you give someone mercy in one moment doesn't mean that your flesh isn't going to rear its head and try to steal that back. You know,
flesh management.
Absolutely.
It's a sermon right there.
I know.
I have to pull that one together. But, you know, let's look at this next one. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Mm.
What's that mean to you? You know, talk to me a little bit about that.
I think,
what does a pure heart look like?
I think a pure heart looks like total submission to God. I think pure in heart, we have purity in our hearts because of Christ Jesus, not because of anything we could do. And so when we're submitted to him, when our heart posture is that of submission, then we can receive that purity from him. And that's when we get to have a one-on-one experience. And it says, for they will see God. Well, then we get to see God because we're covered in the cloak of Christ. He doesn't see us anymore. He sees the perfection of Jesus instead. And that's when we have that opportunity to be face to face with the Almighty God.
Yeah, that's crazy because I feel like it's, you know, it's not a pure life that creates a pure heart. It's a pure heart that creates a pure life.
Absolutely.
You know, so if we work on our internal heart chamber, our core of our existence and our being and who we are, and we become who God is calling us to be through his word. Why do we read the Bible? To rewrite our thinking, to rewrite our core beliefs, and to begin to align our personal relationships, you know, with God, with his word, you know, and to live our lives more holy, more perfect, because we get to, not because we have to, but because we love him, we want to be better, we want to do more. And I think that we really get to see God when God sees us, like today, you know, just being transparent, being real, saying, hey, I have struggles, I have battles in my life, but God, I do want to be better today than I was yesterday.
Absolutely.
At this thing or that thing, or, you know, I want to be kinder today than I was yesterday when I was frustrated and tired and all the ministry junk that comes out of pastor gets on you, or the workload of life and kids and family and laundry. You know, let's talk about the laundry pile. Oh my gosh.
Never ending.
That'll defile your heart in an instant, right? You know, it's like, but that's funny.
Never ending.
You know, if you want to see God, work on your heart posture.
Absolutely.
Work on who you are in your core being, and apply the values of the Beatitudes to your life. Be poor in spirit, you know, be gracious and merciful and all those things, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you'll see God. How about this one? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God.
I feel like that is
what's a peacemaker?
I feel like
not that thing they put in you when your heart's messing up.
That one. That might.
Oh, no, that's a pacemaker.
Slightly different.
Peacemaker.
You know, I feel like this is the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. So a thermostat sets the temperature in a room. A thermometer just tells you what the temperature is.
Oh, that's so good.
So here he's saying, blessed are the peacemakers. Not the peacekeepers, the peacemakers, those who go into a situation and create peace. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. So as
Jesus is peace.
Yes. So as we are connected to his vine, then peace becomes a fruit in our lives, and we're able to bring that into situations.
Yeah. I think peacemaker is somebody who's actually trying to bring Jesus into the situation.
Yes, exactly.
So good. You know, the last little piece here says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And the second ties into it, verse 11, then blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of me. He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they're going to persecute us.
Yes.
People aren't going to be happy when you start bringing the God of this, you know, universe into the God of this world.
Yeah.
There's an opposition that is happening against darkness and light.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that here in a minute. But, you know, we're going to get persecuted.
Yes.
You're going to experience people that are like, just, I don't want to hear about this God stuff. Get away from me. Go. Leave. I've had it. I've had the hand come up and, no, I'm good. Just keep moving, you know? And that's just how it is sometimes in this life. So let's take a quick break. Let's hear from our sponsors, and then let's come back and talk a little bit about being a light in a dark world.
Sounds good.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Hello, everyone. Pastor Kevin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I just wanted to take a moment and invite each and every one of you to our Christmas Eve services. It's going to be December the 24th at 4 and 5:30 p.m. here at Lighthouse Church, located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Please join us as we celebrate the joyous holidays and the birth of Jesus Christ here at our church. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Caitlin, what great insight that we've had here on the Sermon of the Mount and the Beatitudes. Now, I want to step out of the Beatitudes, and I want to look at, verse 13 and 14, salt of the earth and light of the world, you know, a town built on a hill. And the scripture is saying, in part of the Sermon on the Mount, this is still Jesus' sermon. He's like, hey, you are going to become a light to this world.
Yeah.
And tell me about that. Tell everybody that's listening what it means to be a light in a dark world, because they're going to persecute us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the enemy is constantly trying to shut us up in some way or another. And God is the bright and morning star, is what Jesus is called. And so a bright and morning star, if you're bringing light into a situation, I mean, think of it that way. When you start speaking life over a situation, you start speaking scripture, you start speaking the truth of scripture into a situation, you can't hide that. It's like a house on a hill. It's a city on a hill. You can't
lighthouse.
Hide it. Yeah. Lighthouse. I love that. you can't cover that up. So us as the hands and feet of Jesus, we are the light of the world. We bring his word into situations, and the enemy can't shut us up when we're speaking his word.
Right. And his word is the truth, and the truth is a light.
Yes.
To those who are in darkness. And, you know, in verse 16, it says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify who?
Your Father
in heaven. You see, Jesus was always about revealing the Father.
Yes.
You know, the heart of God is found in the Father. And, you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh, and we have the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, and he's teaching us. And but our Heavenly Father is the heart of God. And,
and
if we want to see him, you know, then we've got to look into the Beatitudes. We've got to look into the different ways in our life. And we've got to be merciful, because God is merciful.
Yeah.
There are people out there today that are struggling with being merciful to some people in their lives because they've been done wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And rightfully so. You know, you should guard your heart, and you should be guarded by people that are trying to hurt you or do things to you. But you cannot remain bitter. You cannot let these things come at you. You will have your light extinguished. So here at Lighthouse Church, we are believing that you are called by God to be a light in this world.
Amen.
So go and turn the light on. Let your light so shine before people this day, and tell them about Jesus. Tell them he loves you. And we're so excited you joined us for the program. Caitlin, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
God bless you all.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.